and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is America's rabbi and best-selling author of The Harbinger, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Our co-hosts today are Marcella Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome everybody to Gray Street.
Right,
we have a great audience here today. And we have a great guest.
What the best?
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is back with us live
from New Jersey.
From his home.
Yeah, right.
Rabbi, welcome to our show. Great to have you back.
Yes, it
is. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is the president of the Hope of the World Ministries. He's the senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel, in Wayne, New Jersey. Somebody told me that New Jersey has more Jewish people than Israel almost.
Oh, yeah, they're very close. Rabbi Sobel said, you know, New Jersey is like the next Holy Land.
But that's where the rabbi is located. And Rabbi is the author of several best-selling books, including The Harbinger 2, The Oracle, The Paradigm, The Harbinger, and The Shemitah. He and his wife,
and they're three amazing boys.
Eliel, who when I first came, I think he was 2 years old or something. He's 11 now. Dael is 9, who I think was born after I came. And Mishael is just past 2, beginning to talk, and so very lively. And our dog Shimshon is 4. He's running around. He was actually born on the day that Shimshon was born on the day that Donald Trump was inaugurated. So we can date things by him. And Renata, my wife, is doing great. There are certain time periods. When I first came to you, we had the Harbinger was about to come out, and the ministry was flooded by Hurricane Irene. We had no place for months. And every time something big is going to happen, things go crazy. Well, the enemy's going crazy. I was going to start writing the next book in January, which I normally do, but there was so much going on. The second I said I'm going to write this, everything went crazy. So we're doing good, but it's fighting the good fight. So we know something very big is coming, a good thing. I mean, you know, and the other thing is that we reopened Beth Israel. We've been doing it online, you know, during the lockdown. In New Jersey, the restrictions have been very tight. So we reopened at the end of March, just before Resurrection Day. So we've been doing that, and we've actually increased services because there's limitations on how many people you can have. So that's all going, and things are busy, crazy busy, and great in the Lord. You know, so while things are crazy in the world as well.
That's right.
What's happening in New York and New Jersey area now with COVID restrictions?
Yeah,
are they actually lifting them there in Jersey as well?
Well, New Jersey and New York are some of the tightest, and so they are behind any lifting of anything. We still, in the services, everybody, the restrictions are everybody has to wear masks and all, you know, that. They haven't lifted that, even though the CDC lifted that, in a sense, the guidelines. So it's still very tight in New Jersey, and so there's limitations, again, how many people we can have in the services. But, you know, the Lord's purposes go ahead. But, yeah, New Jersey and New York, just like some other places, are probably the tightest of the states in America.
Rabbi, we've been very concerned about what's going on in Israel with the rockets being fired every day at all over Israel, thousands of them. We have a news clip about it. Let me watch, and we'll roll that for you, and then I want you to comment on it.
Disturbances and rioting in Israel's major cities is the worst in decades.
What we saw on the streets is something that was reminding us of the days of the pogroms in 1948, in 1927, in 1936, in 1967. That is unacceptable. We want the Israeli-Arab culture, we want the Israeli-Arab communities to calm the situation down.
Israel police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld says authorities have used only non-lethal methods to control the violence.
It's come from the Israeli-Arab community who have attacked police officers, burned vehicles. Tens of vehicles of civilians have also been burnt in the different cities.
Rosenfeld tells CBN News the incidents began in Jerusalem's Old City during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan.
But unfortunately, local residents, local communities, local individuals, the majority of them youngsters, have taken to the streets.
In the initial violence, Arab rioters attacked Jews and synagogues. The violence also prompted Jewish self-defense and revenge attacks, such as this one caught live on Israeli television.
The majority of those individuals being individuals with criminal records were taking to the street and defending themselves as well in the majority of situations. Unfortunately, there were one or two incidents that took place where they beat up people in the streets, which is absolutely unacceptable.
Meanwhile, Israel's president, Reuven Rivlin, brought together Muslim, Christian, and Jewish religious leaders and educators from the northern Israeli mixed city of Akko.
This is home to us all, and we protect our home. Not with clubs and knives, not with stones and firearms that sow destruction and ruin, but first and foremost by maintaining law and order. We had three awful days here, and we are still traumatized. Our town is a special place, a place where we live and where coexistence is not just a slogan. The people here have worked very hard, invested a great deal in stopping the violence. As the rabbi said, Akko is a place where you feel the calm and the coexistence.
Arrests are ongoing, and Rosenfeld hopes the situation calms down so police can decrease the number of officers on the ground. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Wow.
So much is happening in Israel and so fast. Can you talk about what's happening there, Rabbi?
Yeah. And first of all, I was just in Akko before, and what you see here, this is from CBN, you won't see in most of the newscasts because they'll only focus on Israel's reaction. But so much is happening. The situation, the world is condemning Israel like it always, as it always does. The situation that is began from what they said is began in Jerusalem with the eviction of some families, of our families from a neighborhood in Jerusalem. And the media depicts it like Israel just came in and said, we're evicting you. And they've been there for years and years and years. And this whole thing. But what they don't tell you, what I heard, is that basically it's a Jewish owned, whether it's building or land, Jewish owned that way. And from what I heard is they didn't pay the rent. That's what I heard this is about. So that began, and then Israel was accused, and then came uprisings on the Temple Mount, and Israel responded. And then the Gaza Strip, which is totally given over to the Palestinians. Basically, nobody wanted that area, the Gaza Strip. Egypt didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. It's always been a problem. Hamas took it over. So Hamas is a terrorist group. They run the Gaza Strip, and so they created a terror state. They put missiles all around, which they get funded from other countries. They have missiles, and they have tunnel systems to put the missiles in for terror. And the missiles are all, they have one purpose, to strike Israel. And they hide their missiles, or they hide all these things by people, they hide them in schools or by school. They hide them in by hospitals. They hide them by all these things. So they're using people, human beings, as human shields. So that, in other words, they fire and they say, Israel, then you can't do it. Or if they do fire back, if Israel fires back and Israel tries to avoid hitting civilians, it goes on to the news and Hamas is okay with that because it makes Israel look bad. Now, Hamas had 3,000 missiles so far that have launched into Israel, headed towards Israeli cities. Now I've heard something like, I don't know if it was like a fourth of them have hit Arabs and have hit people who are living around their own area. This is Hamas. Now imagine if in America there were 3,000 rocket missiles being hurled to American cities. I mean, it would be much more because Israel is so tiny. But so Israel actually, they're saying, listen, we cannot live with that. And we are going to take this out. So they're doing everything to take out the missiles and take out those who are firing the missiles. But Israel actually calls up people in, like, if they're going to go after a site or a building that's by the missile thing, they will call up the people and say, listen, we're going to do this. You need to get out. They give them an hour to get out. And then beyond that, they take another hour where they do this thing where they drop bombs on the roof, which are very low level, so they don't do damage, but they make sure that people are getting out of there. So that, I don't know other countries that do that, but there's no way you cannot also have civilians involved. So then, you know, the world media condemns Israel. Israel is trying to take out the terrorist threat, which is there, which is very real, which is continually firing missiles into there. So that's the difference of what the real situation is. And Israel is seeking to live, to survive. If it doesn't, I mean, Hamas has in their declaration that they are for the annihilation of Israel. And so this is what Israel's dealing with. If it loses one war, it doesn't exist anymore. So we have never in America, we have never dealt with anything even like it. The world has never had. And yet they condemn Israel, which is what they always do. But that is an idea of the situation that Israel's dealing with.
Wow.
The fighting is focusing on Gaza. Is there any significance to that?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people may not realize, believers, that Gaza, you know, here at the Gaza Strip, Gaza is in the Bible, and Gaza's in the Bible. You have about 19 references in the Bible to Gaza. And Gaza was always interesting, always a place of conflict. Actually, you know, at the beginning, it says when the spies went up to Israel, and they said the 12 spies, and they said, oh, we can't, there are giants in the land. They called them the Anakim in Hebrew. Well, it says later on that the Anakim were driven out of the land, but except one, pretty much one place, Gaza. So here the giants in the land ended up going to Gaza. So it was always a place which represented the obstacle to God's purposes in the land. Now, when you read the story of Samson, you know, Samson, a part of it takes place in Gaza. When they blind him, when they take out, the Philistines take out his eyes, they end up taking him to Gaza. So when you hear that story of Samson, we've always read about, heard about from the time we were kids, it's taking place, this finale takes place in Gaza, same place that's in the news. They take him to the Temple of Dagon, the destruction comes, the temple falls down. Interesting, you know, because we're seeing buildings falling down in Gaza. Well, that goes back to Samson, you know, with that. Now, so Gaza, and it's a good, you had a map there. Gaza is located by on the coast. It's by the Mediterranean Sea. It has been a problem for Israel from ancient times. It was pretty much the headquarters of the Philistines. Now, something to note, you know, when the Romans came in 70 AD and they destroyed Israel, they sent the Jews around the world. They said, you know, let's do something. Let's rename the land so that everybody will forget that it's the land of the Jewish people. So let's cut that connection. So they said, let's come up with a name. So the name they came up with was the name Philistia Palestina, which comes from, it means the land of the Philistines. They got that from in the Bible, that area was called Pilishtim, or the land of that's how you say Philistine. So they came up with Palestina. That's where we get the word Palestine. So whenever you hear the word Palestine, that's named after the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, on purpose. And so there's one Palestinian state in Israel, which is Gaza. And so Gaza, I mean, it's amazing because Gaza was the center of the Philistines. And so now we're saying, hey, we're Palestine, which is named after, it means basically saying we're Philistines. And it was the chief city of that. So the Gaza Strip goes back to the Bible. Now in Jeremiah, God gives a word and he says that judgment is coming on Gaza. In the book of Amos, it says, thus says the Lord, because of the sins of Gaza, I will send punishment. In Zephaniah, it says Gaza will be forsaken. And another place in Amos, it says, I will send fire on Gaza. I will send fire on the walls of Gaza. The palaces of Gaza will be destroyed. Now, I'm not saying that prophecy is specifically saying what's happening now, but the word of God is very big and very, very all-encompassing. And so now we're again seeing what the prophet spoke of. The prophet spoke of Gaza, judgment or fire and destruction. So this is very biblical, the whole conflict and what we're seeing in the news.
Wow.
That's
powerful.
Yes.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is.
Wow.
Explaining. Absolutely.
What does the conflict in Israel mean prophetically?
Well, you know, you for a long time, we heard people saying, and with good motives, saying there's peace. You know, there's peace in Israel. And you know, we had what President Trump made the Abrahamic Accords, which still, I mean, amazing. In many cases, they're holding because there are many Arab nations that are not condemning Israel, which is amazing. So there, we have an idea of peace. But the thing is that the Bible says there's not going to be peace in Israel until Messiah comes. I mean, there may be seasons of peace. But Israel is going to be, is, the Bible says, prophetically, the center of warfare. And that warfare is not natural. It is supernatural. We have protests all around the world happening against Israel and many chants of saying, basically, destroy Israel. And not just destroy Israel, destroy the Jewish people. Anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic. This is satanic. The enemy is against Israel. And the Bible says there's not going to be peace. So end time, what does Bible prophecy say? End time Bible prophecy says there's not going to be peace. Israel is going to be gathered back from the ends of the earth. It happened. They're going to come back to Jerusalem. It happened. And then it says Jerusalem is going to be the center of conflict, of controversy. There is not going to be peace. What did Messiah say? Messiah said, Israel, he said, he wept. And he said, you didn't recognize the time. And so now he says, that your peace or your shalom is going to be hidden from you. And you will not see me until you say, Baruch haba b'Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what it's saying is there's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes and Israel says yes. So we are watching that. So every time it looks like there's peace, all right, there's peace for a time, but it always comes back. It's not over. The Bible says in the end, all nations will come against Israel. And the world, even to this day, is condemning Israel. It's a fury against Israel. Even in our media, most of our media sites, except for sites like Fox News and some other conservatives, are condemning Israel. So this is part of the rage, a satanic rage, which is not going to let Israel have peace until the time.
You've opened up a mystery of connections regarding all the chaos in Israel. What is it?
Yeah, in Revelation 12, it speaks of the dragon, which represents Satan, of course, warring against the woman who represents Israel. I mean, people come up with their interpretation, but that woman is it has the stars and the moon. That's a sign of Israel, the 12 stars, 12 tribes, and gives birth to the Messiah in Revelation 12. Who then is taken up. Well, the enemy comes against the woman, and the enemy does not forget. The enemy holds grudges. The enemy hates Israel, hates the Jewish people, because the Jewish people or Israel brought to the world the Bible, the revelation of God, and ultimately Messiah. And so the enemy always, it says the dragon, you know, the woman gave birth, and then the dragon turns its fury against the woman. And so he revisits it. You know that when Israel, when the destruction of the temple came in ancient times, when the enemies of Israel, Babylon, came, they destroyed it on the 9th or 10th of Av. When the Romans, that's the Hebrew date, when the Romans came in and they destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, they did it on the same day. Now they weren't looking at their Hebrew calendar. They couldn't care less. They weren't reading the Bible. But the enemy knows. So the enemy revisits things against the same, it's like he's continuing the battle, and some these dates give the fingerprints of the enemy, also God. Now let me tell you how that goes here. 2,000 years, in World War I, General Edmund Allenby, a Christian, conquers Jerusalem for the first time from Muslim rule, and the British Empire says we're going to give Israel back to the people of Israel. Well, that happened on December 9th. So after 2,000 years, December 9th was the day the enemy lost a big battle, that Jerusalem was, the rule was lifted and towards the Jewish people. Now, years later, after Israel was born, became a nation, the United Nations makes a crucial vote. And they say that we have to remove Jerusalem. Jerusalem does not belong to the Jewish people, and we have to take it away. It's the first time they're fulfilling what God said in Zechariah 12, the nations will try to move Jerusalem. Well, this happened for the first time when the UN in 1949 votes this critical vote, which has determined UN policy ever since then. What day did they vote this anti-Jerusalem thing? It was It was December 9th, the same day that Allenby liberated Jerusalem. So here you got something of God. Now you have something of Satan on the same day. Now, here's another thing. On the Hebrew calendar, the date that they condemned Jerusalem for the first time, that they said Jerusalem has to be taken from the Jewish people, was the Hebrew date. It was December 9th, but the Hebrew date was the date, the 18th day of the month of Kislev, 18th day. Now, for all that time, it is held that the nations have refused to recognize Jerusalem since the UN. It was broken in 2017 by President Donald Trump when he recognized Jerusalem. And it was December 6th, 2017. That's when he did the Jerusalem. But on the Hebrew calendar, it was the 18th day of Kislev, the same Hebrew day that the world first said they started the anti-Israel day when the enemy said, no, we're going to take away Jerusalem. So Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem, broke it on the exact same Hebrew day. And I am sure that Donald Trump was not looking at his Hebrew calendar and calculating this. But it all goes, it's always the same date. It's the same thing. It's showing you the fingerprints of this gigantic battle between God and Satan over Israel, over the land and nation of Israel. Now, every year on November, around November 29th, the UN observes a date called the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinians against Israel. Every year, the UN says we are against Israel, basically, and they usually condemn Israel with a resolution or a vote on that day, November 29th. Now think about it. Why November 29th? November 29th is the date that the UN voted Israel into existence. So again, this war that goes back and forth between God and Satan. Now bring it to right where we are now. In 1967, after 2,000 years, Israel was restored to the city of Jerusalem according to Bible prophecy, according to what Messiah said. He's not coming back until this happens. So they come back, and the Hebrew date is that they regain Jerusalem, Six-Day War, is the month of Iyar, the 28th day, Iyar 28. The 28th day of Iyar is the day of prophecy restoring Jerusalem. Well, the war that we are seeing now began when Hamas began firing the missiles, the 3,000 missiles, also towards Jerusalem. When did it begin? It began on May 10th. May 10th, on the biblical calendar, was the 28th day of Iyar, the very day that Jerusalem was restored to the Jewish people. So here again, the war continues between God and Satan, and it's showing you who's behind all this. The enemy is behind it. On the same day when he lost Jerusalem, he begins attacking Israel again. So you see how real and how stark and how exact this is, down to the exact days. God is exact and the enemy is exact as well, and the war goes on.
This is amazing.
Wow. It really is.
It really is
amazing. This is amazing, yes.
Just tell us quickly, why Jerusalem? Why is Jerusalem the heartbeat of all of this?
Well, people don't realize this all began, in Jerusalem, as we said, number one. Number two, there was a kind of revolt on the Temple Mount, so literally the Temple Mount. Really, this is all about Jerusalem. You know, Hamas says, we'll stop doing this when you give up Jerusalem. It's really all about Jerusalem, and this only confirms the word of God. The Bible says that Jerusalem is the center of everything, number one. Number two, it says in the last days, it's going to be the center of conflict, the center of controversy, Zechariah 12. All nations will come against, not just Israel, Jerusalem, and they will try to move it. And everyone who tries to move Jerusalem will be injured. And it says, in that day, I will fight for my people. It talks about the second coming of Messiah, when they will look upon me, who they appear. All focuses on Jerusalem. What did Messiah weep over? Jerusalem. Where did he say he's coming back? Jerusalem. So this is, again, bearing out the Bible after all these years. Here it is. It's the 21st century, and still the world rages against Israel and still seeks its destruction, and it all centers on Jerusalem. Because the enemy is so mad that over the Jewish people being in Jerusalem, that even when a Jewish person builds a house in Jerusalem, it can cause a world controversy. Why? He knows that when the Jewish people return to Jerusalem, somebody else is coming to return to Jerusalem.
Wow. Amen. Wow.
Yay!
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Oh, I'm excited about that. By the way, the calendar is going to be off the press, the Jewish calendar.
Yes. Right.
And it is a, how many months did I say
16
this is?
16 months.
16 months calendar of the Jewish dates and all, and a lot
Hebrew
of Bible stuff.
That's
so
right.
You can get one calendar for only $20.
That's right.
And you can get three of them, the Lori special, for $35.
Yes.
To
yes.
Share the calendars with your friends.
But yes. Better yet, really, the 13, the baker's dozen, for $140 donation to the ministry, including your shipping and your handling.
What a lovely little gift to give to somebody.
Oh, my.
Because you just can't find
that's
them.
Right.
You can't find them. A very few Christian bookstores carry them.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be able to find one somewhere, but I doubt it. And this is so good. And all these dates
right.
that
oh,
Rabbi is sharing with us. I just had to throw this in right now, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Forgive me for that. But you spoke of the mystery of Gaza. Is there a mystery to Hamas?
Yes. And not that, what I'm going to share, what I'm going to open up here, is not that I'm saying that the Bible's speaking about the organization. However, God, you know, God is awesome, and his word is awesome. And anytime, you know, he gives something as a word for that time, but it also has all sorts of you know, applications. God knows every word, when it's going to be read, where it's going to be. Now, there's a word, now Hamas is a name for, in Arabic, it speaks of fervor, Islamic fervor, and you know, and radicalism, all that. But there is also a word in Hebrew that means, there's a word in Hebrew that means violence, destruction, evil, cruelty. It's in the Bible, and the word is Hamas in the Bible. The word Hamas in Hebrew means all those things, violence, destruction, evil. Now I'm gonna actually read to you some Bible verses that have that word in it, and instead of saying it in English, I'm going to say the Hebrew, okay? So listen, just to give you a little taste of this. Proverbs says, do not envy Hamas and choose none of its ways. In the Psalm, it says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the man of Hamas, who has planned to overthrow my goings, planned my destruction, the man of Hamas. Ezekiel, Hamas is risen up into becoming a rod of evil. Ezekiel says the city is full of Hamas. Think of Gaza. And then it says there's more, but I'm just going to give one more. Isaiah, listen to this. Isaiah 60, which is the same prophecy that speaks about arise and shine, your light is come, and God's going to restore you again, Israel. He's going to heal you, Israel. It says in that day, it says Hamas shall no longer be heard in your land.
Wow. That's powerful.
That is so powerful, people.
It really is.
Well, I just appreciate Rabbi's teaching because it just, you know, it's like he goes doom, 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 and then bam, you know, and then and we go like, wow, this is so overwhelming.
Yeah. That's right.
You speak about the mystery in Daniel that relates to what's happening right now. Right now, tell us.
Yeah, there's a really deep thing here. If you look at Daniel 10, there's something in Daniel 10, but even before I go there, Daniel 9 is where, you know, Daniel receives the amazing prophecy of Messiah coming, the 77s, the coming of Messiah, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and even the tribulation period, even the Antichrist. It's all there in Daniel 9. So he gets all this revelation, and you know, and actually you read more about it in the book of Revelation. So that happens in that the previous chapter, and it all comes through the angel Gabriel. Now I'm sure the enemy was not happy about that because it's all about the restoration. It's all about the end of the enemy's kingdom and the revelations of Daniel 9. So right after that, or in the Bible, something happens. Daniel is praying again, and he's praying for weeks and weeks, and nothing's happening. He doesn't see an answer. Sometimes that happens to the Lord. You don't see it, but it doesn't mean God's not at work. Finally, an angel appears before him, and I'm going to read from that section. It says this, then behold, a hand touched me and shook me on my hands and my knees, because Daniel's like, he's like fainting. And he said to me, Daniel, you are treasured, who are treasured. You understand the words I'm about to tell you, and stand at your place, for I have now been sent to you. And when he spoke to me this word, I stood up. I was still trembling, but I stood up. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in my way for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people, Israel, the Jewish people, in the latter days now, because the vision pertains to the days of what is yet to come. Okay, so now Daniel is getting the follow-up, in a sense, to Daniel 9, the 77th. The angel has come to him to tell him what's going to happen to Israel in the last days, and specifically the purposes of God in the last days, which include restoring Israel, restoring Jerusalem, restoring the temple, and the coming of Messiah. This goes all the way to Daniel 12, you know, which talks about the end. So he's coming to bring this gigantic revelation, not only to him, but to us and everybody who will see it, read it in the last days. But he says something. He says, I was trying to come to you, and this is a real amazing part in the Bible. People look at this and say, what is this? I was trying to get to you, but I was stopped. I was stopped by the prince of Persia. Now, who is that? Well, the Hebrew word prince would be most likely tsar, or it means ruler, okay? Don't take it as just a regular prince, but you could read it as principality of Persia. This is a demonic being, which is called the prince or the ruler of Persia, which is appointed to stop the purposes of God. It's trying to stop Israel's purposes, stop the revelation, stop all these things. Now, people get from this the idea of territorial spirits over territory. But this actually doesn't say the land of Persia. It says the kingdom of Persia, which more speaking of the nation of Persia. So this is a principality called the principality of Persia that is linked to that kingdom or that nation. And it seeks to stop the revelation, stop the purposes of God, stop the purposes of Israel, the end times, Messiah, the last days, all that. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Persia is one of the few nations in the world that is still the same as it was in ancient times. Not as great, not a kingdom, but the nation is still the people. It was known as Persia for ages, but in the 20th century, they changed their name based on the word Aryan. You know, Hitler spoke about the Aryan race. Well, that's where it's linked to. They called it the land of the Aryans, or Iran. Iran. Persia is Iran. So the principality here could be called the principality of Iran. And unlike other kingdoms, it's remained the same. So this could be the exact same principality that's at work today. And this is the principality that seeks to stop God's purposes. So it comes against, and particularly comes against Israel and the purposes for Israel. So to stop the end time purposes, to destroy it, so ultimately Messiah can't come. Could that principality of Persia in Daniel still be at work today? Well, it would seem like it would, because it's still the same nation. So now here's the thing. We talked about Hamas, but who's behind all this? It's not Hamas. It's Iran. It's Persia. It's the principality of Persia. The same principality in the book of Daniel so is still seeking to destroy Israel. So it's the principality of Persia that has raised up Iran to rage against Israel, to want to destroy Israel. Those rockets that are coming into Israel come from Iran, and Iran, over Iran, is the principality of Persia. So this is a demonic thing, and Daniel's giving us a revelation of it, and so all these things, you know, what's in the Bible never stops. It's still for today. So here, when that principality came to Daniel, specifically was talking about not just Israel, but what was going to happen in the end times. And now, what is the chief power that is seeking to destroy Israel? The same power that's linked to this principality, this demonic spirit. But here's some good news, and that is that when you read the account in Daniel 10, the angel says, I mean, now listen, this is a principality that stopped an angel or delayed an angel, so this is a powerful thing. And so when you see all these 3,000 missiles, this is what's behind it. It's spiritual, it is demonic, we war against principalities. But it says that when he says that, he says, but finally I was released. Why? Because of another principality called Michael or Michael. And it says Michael, the angel, he did it. And it says that interesting thing, Michael or Michael is the, says, it says right there in Daniel 10, is specifically the principality of Israel. So in other words, when you have all these demonic forces coming against Israel for 2,000 years and today, you also have Michael. You have a principality that's fighting for Israel and the Jewish people. And so if you want to know why, how could Israel still be alive after 2,000 years of all hell? How could it still be alive? Because there are principalities fighting for it, led by, literally the Bible says, Michael. That's why there's, with all the hell breaking loose over Israel, Israel still lives because God still lives, and he also has a lot of angels around that place.
Wow.
So
wow.
Good.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Whoa,
love,
isn't that
it.
Good?
This is
that
is so,
whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Supernatural.
Well, revelation. I love the Bible, and
yes.
I love Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, you recently posted a prophetic message and mystery called The Reign of Baal. One of the things it reveals is that your book has, the paradigm, has not stopped. It's continued to this day.
That's right.
This is a amazing book. It's
yes.
a New York Times bestseller, The Paradigm, mm-hmm. the ancient blueprint that holds the mysteries of our times.
That's right.
But when you order that, it's a $65 offer, which supports us staying on TV.
That's right.
But you get the whole
paradigm,
set,
and I love
DVD
this.
Album.
Yes, because it's uncensored. The full Revelation DVD album 1 and 2 with exclusive material revealed nowhere else. So it is imperative that you get this if you don't have
it. So how many DVDs are in there,
yes,
do you know?
Eight DVDs of teaching by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn over 8 hours. And these are the mysteries that he could not fit into the Paradigm book. So you want to get the Paradigm DVD set, which is over 8 hours of teaching by Rabbi. So you'll receive one book along with the DVD set, 8 DVDs in that offer for a donation of $65 to the ministry.
You must know the last day mysteries, yes. and Rabbi unveils them
amazingly.
Oh, it's mind-blowing, truly.
Over 300,000 people have ordered this book in the beginning
yeah.
of the sales of this
That's
book.
That's right.
And so this book is very, very powerful.
It
lies behind the events that are happening right now. Tell us about that. I want you to reveal the mystery of the reign of Baal to our audience. Give yes. us an introduction to the reign of Baal. Would you do that?
Here's the thing. The mystery didn't stop. And I, you know, when I write books, I don't often have a chance to read them, you know, because I wrote them and I'm moving on, you know, to the thing. But sometimes I look back and I say, whoa, okay, Lord, you know, not that I knew, but the Lord knows. And what's in the paradigm actually has continued up to this day. And I just only saw this as I was watching what happened in Washington, D.C. And the thing is, so to set the framework, and that's the reign of Baal is going to have to do with Donald Trump, with the Democrats in power, with what we saw on Capitol Hill. There's actually a mystery behind it. Everything that happened there, I mean, it's and what it actually means for where we are right now. Here's the foundation. The paradigm is a template from the scriptures. And I'm not saying that the scriptures are prophesying, you know, people in America, but that the templates are replaying and that God uses the templates to speak about what's happening right now. And so the template of the paradigm is extremely specific about what it's revealing what's happening right now. It concerns a nation back then, Israel, that once knew God, but was rapidly falling away from God. Well, now this is America, once knew God, rapidly falling away. And the warning is that if it doesn't turn back, it is heading for judgment. The paradigm contains specific ancient prototypes that lie behind the leaders on the national stage. But to know how accurate and how amazing God is, the first king in the paradigm is a divided man. He knows of God, but he leads his nation away from God. He in apostasy. He goes back and forth, And he's actually the one who's going to actually start a culture war that's going to accelerate the nation's fall from God. This ancient king, whose name is Ahab or Ahab, is actually going to be the prototype that President Bill Clinton is actually going to replay. Now, he doesn't know what he has no idea, but he's going to do it. The ancient king's reign, Ahab, is known for scandals. So the Clinton presidency is going to be known for scandals. And actually, the scandals are going to match up with the scandals of Ahab. Bill Clinton entered the national stage when he became governor in 1979. His presidency ended in 2001. So his time on the national stage was 22 years. 22 years, the Clinton years on the national stage. You look in the Bible of Ahab, the ancient king, his product, what it says he reigned for a period of 22 years. Same time, same trajectory. And we're going to see that each part of his reign is there's something that's going to be fulfilled in the time of the Clintons. Now, Ahab wasn't alone. He had help. And so that brings up another mystery. And that is this. Ahab, it was a co-regency with his wife, the queen. The ancient queen, of course, we know her as Jezebel. She was even, and this is, by the way, it's not about the people in the modern time. We pray for the people, but they don't know what they're doing. But the ancient queen was even more committed to overturning biblical values than Ahab. She championed a religious practice that involved the killing of little children. So the Clinton presidency was unique because even observers said it's a co-presidency. It was Bill Clinton and it was Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton championed an anti-biblical agenda that involved the killing of little children, abortion. In fact, Hillary Clinton was hailed as the abortion champion of the century. So this goes right, and her mystery, and I'm not talking about, you know, her nature, but she's going to follow the paradigm of the ancient queen, Jezebel. There's also a scandal that takes place in the 19th year of the king's time on the national stage. A scandal breaks forth. Now we're talking about Ahab. A scandal breaks forth. This is the famous scandal that actually is going to spell the end of his kingship. It happens in the 19th year, the Bible says. Well, what about Clinton? In the 19th, a scandal breaks forth. We know it, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, the big scandal. And so when is his 19th year? The 19th year is he started on the stage in 1979. The 19th year comes out to 1998. The chief scandal of the Clinton years surfaces in the year 1998, the 19th year of the king or the president. In fact, you know, Clinton's time he actually came as governor. He came on the national stage in January 1979. So it brings you to January 1998. That's the exact month when the scandal breaks. Now I'm moving forward here. The scandal that has to in Ahab actually pinpoints that his reign is going to end 3 years after the scandal. His reign ends. Now here's the thing: Clinton's presidency ended in 2001 on January 20th. Now the paradigm says it will be a 3 year period between the scandal and the end of the reign. Well, if you go back from the last day of his presidency, go back 3 years, it takes you to January 20th, 1998. January 20th, 1998 is the exact date that the scandal breaks forth, 3 years to the exact day.
Wow.
That's shocking.
It takes Rabbi. He's the one who pieces all this together and puts it together so easy for us to understand.
Boy, we're running out of time today. We got to keep going because Rabbi will be back tomorrow. We got so much to learn because we've got to know what's happening so we're ready in these last days. Open up the mystery of the ancient scandal. Would you can do that? Can we do that now?
Yeah, well, there's a real stunning mystery with it because when the king, when the scandal comes, it's exposed to Ahab. He actually repents for a little bit. I mean, you know, Ahab repents, but then he goes back. But the paradigm says that 3 years after not just the scandal but the repentance of the king, there's going to be a calamity that comes on the nation. Now, Clinton actually voiced repentance for his sin. It happened in a White House gathering. It happened at a certain date. Now, 3 years after the date of the repentance of that gathering, and you can look it up on the web, when he repents, or he, at least he voices repentance, 3 years after the date, it leads you to September 11, 2001, the day that the calamity comes upon America. So, which is exactly what the paradigm says, a calamity will come. It pinpoints September 11th, and actually the gathering of repentance took place in the morning, and the very same hours, 9/11 comes upon the land. Now, I'm going to move forward because we're ultimately going to take it on the next program to where we are. But the king's reign comes to an end. What about the queen? According to the mystery of the paradigm, the queen's reign continues. The queen continues on the public stage. So Ahab, his reign is over, but Jezebel continues. What happens with the Clinton years? The Clinton years come to an end, but Hillary goes on the national stage. Jezebel continued to inhabit the national, she was in the halls of power in the capital city. So was Hillary Clinton. She continues and she continues as a champion of abortion all the way. So this is following the paradigm exactly. Now I'm going to move forward because we're going to ultimately move this up to where we are. The mystery, is there a mystery? And Jim and Lori, I'm going past the questions because I'm moving to where we are. The mystery that lies behind Barack Obama. Another king now rises up in the paradigm, and that ancient king is going to follow the ways of Ahab. He's going to continue leading the nation away from God. He will be his name is Joram, and he will be the prototype and the mystery behind Barack Obama. Obama comes onto the national stage in the Democratic Convention of 2004. He'll be sworn in January 2005. His time will end with his last year being 2016. He leaves office in January of 2017. How many years of Barack Obama on the national stage? 12 years. 12 years of Barack Obama. When you open up the Bible and read of Joram, it says Joram reigned for a period of 12 years. 12 years. And there's even a link between Joram and the former queen Jezebel, because they were together in the palace. Well, Barack Obama was together with Hillary Clinton in the White House when she was Secretary of State. And this now is going to lead us to Donald Trump. And then we're going to reveal things that I have never revealed on any television show that we're going to go into a mystery now. But this is now leading up to Donald Trump.
So good. This is so amazing.
Wow.
You need to get this material.
Yes.
This is so basic and so necessary for these times we're living in. And so you can get the whole set.
That's right.
For a gift of what, $65?
That's right, $65. You can receive one of the Paradigm books along with the 8 DVD set, over 8 hours of teaching by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And he's just skimming through quickly because we don't have enough time on this show, but it's absolutely amazing for us to understand what we are seeing right now taking place in our lifetime. It's unbelievable.
That's right. So you receive the book and the DVD, which are the 8 DVD.
Yes, a DVD set for a donation of $65, and that also includes the shipping and handling.
Lori, isn't this amazing?
Yes. Rabbi always, he's mind-blowing. He's incredible. He explains so much to us. And I've read every single one of Rabbi's books in detail, and I've read this book, every single word, and it's mind-blowing how he puts it all together and helps us understand the biblical, from the Bible's perspective, to where we are today.
The datings in the times.
Yeah, oh. Mm-hmm.
Does it ever amaze you that God's timing, the timing of the evil presidents or the evil leaders, the timing of the good ones, that it coincides with the timings of biblical things?
That's right.
Does that ever shock you?
Yeah, I'm always amazed. I mean, listen, I was amazed from the moment when I was standing at ground zero and that all began with a tree. I said, Lord, how do you do this? You know, well, he's God, you know, and with a paradigm, I remember just laying on my bed. You know, Renata's sleeping, I have my laptop, and like, I remember one, like three things just came to me, and I didn't even know if it was true. I said, like, wait, wait, could this be? And could that match up? I get up out of the bed. I go to another room. I look at my laptop and I'm like, I'm just sitting there blown away. Say, wow, every single thing. It's like on one hand, I'm not surprised because God is amazing and he keeps on blowing me away. But on the other hand, I keep getting blown away. You know, and I'm the first one to be blown away. Say, wow, Lord, you know, you're in everything. And even this, and even these things, which look like it's out of control. It's not out of control. You've got everything down to the days, in many cases, down to the hours or minutes. It's amazing. But that's what we would expect of God. It's just like when you see it, it's just mind blowing.
It really is.
Does that make you to know that God's aware of us?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when we pray one prayer and God answers the prayer, think about how amazing it is. The one who's running the universe is thinking about you, is answering your prayers. It says in the Psalms, it says, if I could count the number of your thoughts to me, it would outnumber the sand of the sea. I mean, that's how much God is thinking about us. And it's not only, you know, here's a good way to kind of put it together too, that not only is it prophetic, where God is exactly causing all these things to work together in the exact moment, but he also, that means he does it for your life. I mean, if he's doing it for people who are involved with evil, he's going to do it for your life. So it means that even though we don't see it a lot of the time, it means every moment of our life. It says he had all our days ordained before we even exist, before we were even born. Every moment of our life, he's working all things together for our good, and that is amazing. Yes. And that is wonderful.
Amen. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, God.
You just brought up 9/11. Explain that again, because I think people need to understand that we're not just on this planet all by ourselves. Yeah. There's a great big plan being worked out, and God is in control. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you know, on one hand, I mean, the paradigm converges with a harbinger and the harbinger too. It all converges. We'll probably see that at the end, but it all converges together. But it's that God allowed it, you know, with the harbinger, you're seeing that every detail of 9/11, I mean, the things, the tree, the words, all that was all exact, but even the timing, if we had known the paradigm, I didn't know the paradigm back then. If I had known the paradigm, if we had known the paradigm that's there in the template, you could have, years before the Pentagon had any idea or the CIA had any idea or anybody had any, you could have, years before, you could have written down the exact date that 9/11 would take place. You could have written down the exact hour of it. And the thing is, there's a mystery in the template. There are time periods. And we're watching like the time period of every ruler, the kings. We're watching it's exact. But also that time period, this three-year period. And the three-year period is that when, you know, what happens is, and we didn't even go into this, but that scandal, there's a scandal also in the template that even speaks about exactly, you know, it speaks about the Whitewater thing and all that. Not that it was predicted, but it's exact with the people. Exact. Well, when that scandal is exposed in the 19th year of King Ahab, when that's exposed, Ahab, for a moment, he goes into repentance for a moment, and then he becomes evil again. But he does. Well, the question is, so the question would be then, it says 3 years after, and Elijah, by the way, Elijah is the one who rebukes him. 3 years after he goes into that repentance, a calamity comes on the nation. So the question there was, did Bill Clinton ever repent? Now it's most presidents don't repent publicly, but Bill Clinton, you know, he fought this for a long time, for months. He said, no, all that. It's amazing that it took months, because then it only happened in September of that same year that finally he said, all right, I'm guilty. This is my repentance. It was at a White House gathering, I believe, in the East Room. And he said, okay, this is my repentance. And so the mystery says, 3 years later, a calamity will come upon that land. 3 years, and actually, by the way, the template of the paradigm even tells you who's going to be behind it. But it says 3 years later. So when did that happen? That repentance of Bill Clinton, you can look it up, happened in the East Room of the White House on September 11th. 3 years later, the calamity comes like clockwork on the land. And when you look at the hours of that meeting, it follows the exact hours. 9/11 will follow the exact hours of that meeting, which is part of the template. So literally, if you and I or anybody in the watching right now had known the paradigm, and we could have written down on a piece of paper calamity, September 11th, 2001, in the morning, in this time period. And that's why it's kind of stunning that the paradigm didn't stop, and even after I wrote the book, but it has continued up to our day.
I want everyone to get this offer today.
Yes.
And I want you to study it. The paradigm, this material, 8 hours of video teaching, exclusive material revealed nowhere else but in this video. And it's full DVD, album one and two. And this book is the ancient blueprint that holds the mysteries of our times right now.
That's right.
Get this set today. Order it right now and have it there. And if you know a friend who needs this, order this set for your friend for $65 gift. You get the videos, 8 DVDs, right, as along with the book for just $65.
That's right. And that includes shipping and handling. So call us right now, 1-888-988-1588, or go to the website, JimBakerShow.com.
All right. Remember now, if you want to get the calendar, they're available, and they're going to be off the press in just a few days. So if you want to get your order in, and the calendar is $20 for one.
Yes, that's right. One for a $20 donation. This is the 2021 to 2022 Jewish Hebrew calendar. For a donation of $20, we also have the friends and family offer, which is 3 of the calendars, for a donation of $35 to the ministry, and that includes the shipping and handling. And we've put together the Baker's Dozen, which means 13. You'll receive 13 of the calendars for $140 to the ministry, and that includes the shipping and handling.
There's pictures and scriptures in it. And this is a full 16 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a big year.
That's right. Beautiful pictures.
More than a year.
Beautiful pictures
months.
Of the Dead Sea. We were with Rabbi and Renata and the whole team at the Dead Sea. And it's these are beautiful pictures.
Yeah, it's really prophetic.
Yeah.
The Dead Sea prophetic scripture.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
On the back of the calendar this year. And there's a lot going on with this calendar.
Yeah.
So you can get that right now. Order it for just $20.
That's right.
And you can get a friends group that you can share with your friends. And what a gift to give. What a gift to give to a friend who really loves the Bible like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so get 3 of them for how much?
For a $35 donation to
for
the ministry.
For 3 of them?
For 3 of them, yes.
Please call me and order something today. Help us stay on the air. It takes a miracle. And you're a part of that.
That's
every
right.
day. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.